This is the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast, episode number 50. And on this episode, we're talking, what do you do when your launch goes wrong? We hear all the success stories about six-figure launches and five-figure challenges, but what about when you get a big old fat zero? Well, we're going to talk about it, and I think by the end of the show, you're going to feel better about making a few errors. Let's dive in. Hey there, you're listening to the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast. My name is Zach Spuckler, and on this show, we talk about how to go from passionate side hustler to full-time online business owner with tips, tricks, and interviews to help you take it to the next level. Let's do it. Hey, welcome to episode 50 of the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast. Can you guys believe it has already been 50 episodes? It feels like the past year has just flown by. The show's already been out for over a year now, which is crazy because the first year I missed a few episodes. So we didn't get all 52 that first year, but we came pretty dang close. And I went back and forth about what I wanted to talk on this 50th episode. It comes at a time on my content calendar where I can really talk about whatever I want. We've been getting a lot of feedback from my audience. I've done some cool interviews over the past few weeks. And so I went back and forth about what I wanted to talk about. And I decided that with new influx of people, we're running more Facebook ads than we have before. We're doing more outreach than we've done before. I wanted to talk about what to do when your launch fails. And I wanted to talk about that because we, in the online marketing space, we see lots of good stuff, right? How to get 1,000 on your list, how to have a massive launch, how to do all this. And I think that we need to talk more about what to do when stuff goes wrong. And we need to be really candid that things don't always go right. So I want to lead into this with a little story for you guys. It's a story that I haven't shared too much. I've alluded to it a few times, but back in 2015, I went on a family vacation to Mexico. It's a trip that we had been planning for a year or so with my family. I went to Mexico and I decided that while I was there, I didn't want to work a lot. And since I wasn't going to be working a lot down there, I wanted to do an automated launch. We had just learned about this all email-based launch system that we could test out, and we decided that I was going to launch my Facebook ads program while I was in Mexico, fully automated, and make $10,000. That was the goal. Well, not only did my trip to Mexico end up being a little more anxiety-inducing than I thought, not because of anything my family did. I just personally went through some stuff where my anxiety kind of flared back up a little bit, something that I've had a pretty good handle on for years. And it kind of put me in a space where I was just really anxious. And then after that happened, that launch kind of failed. Our goal was to sell like 30 to 40 units, and we sold like 11. We came up super short. And then when I came back from Mexico, because my anxiety was so crazy, don't worry, it's related, I didn't want to deal with it. I came back and I was like, my launch sucked. We didn't make the money we wanted to make. I don't feel great. My mental health needs work. Like, I was just done. And the reality is that in the entrepreneurial space, that story is not uncommon. It's just uncommon that we openly share it. And so my hope with this episode is not just to arm you with real knowledge that you can use to have a more successful launch, but also to empower you to know that a bad launch is normal. A rough patch in life is normal. Even these massively successful business people that you see, they have launches that don't go well. They have times where they don't make their quota for the quarter. Like, this is normal. And so my hope with this episode is to bring some normalcy to not every launch is a success, even for big successful companies. Whether you're a mom and pop, an internet millionaire, this is your fifth launch, your first launch, your 500th launch. Sometimes stuff happens. And how we deal with that and how we rebound from that is what truly defines the growth of our business. So anyway, hopefully not too corny. Maybe I could be even more corny on episode 100. But let's dive into what to do if your launch goes wrong and kind of what we did to evaluate what happened with our launch as well. So the first thing that you want to do if you feel like your launch kind of went off the rails is to first check the numbers. So something that we see all the time, especially in my courses with my students, is they go, oh my gosh, my launch was a failure. Everything was horrible. And then I say, well, how many people signed up? And they go, well, like 50. Well, I've said this in episodes past, I will say it again. Business is, at its core, a numbers game. So if you're not getting enough people signing up for stuff, or you're not pushing your content out to a lot of people, sometimes your launch just doesn't go well. And so first thing we always do is we check the numbers. How many people bought? How many people should have bought based on our goals? How many people signed up for our launch? How many people did we want to sign up for our launch? What was our conversion rate? Did we make a profit? Okay. So first things first is go through all the numbers and determine if it's even really that bad. We had one student who was like, oh, my launch was horrible. Like only two people bought from me. And we ended up digging and they only had 60 people sign up. Those two people bought from them. It was a $2,000 purchase and they'd spent a few hundred dollars on ads. So essentially, I don't remember the exact numbers, so I'm paraphrasing a little bit. But essentially, we had somebody 2 or 3x their investment, but they were thinking it was a failed launch because we see the grandiosity of like $10,000 launch, $1 million launch. Guess what? All launches start small. Every business has to start small and scale up. You don't just make $1 million out of the gate. And I love to share with people that my first ever launch, like ever online, of my own digital product was like a $300 profit. It wasn't massive and it wasn't in the business to business space. It was something totally different where I got my feet wet. And then my next launch did about 500. And then my next launch did about 2,000 and then 6,000 and then 10,000 and 20 and 60 and 100. But it has to build up. So before you even try to figure out what went wrong, ask yourself, did something go wrong or am I just in the early stage of my business? Do I just need to get more people signed up? Did I make a profit even, right? And that story I told you about Mexico, we ended up profiting $2,000 on that launch. So while it wasn't perfect, we had to step back and go, well, we didn't lose money. So let's find out what didn't work, but was it a failed launch? And again, it comes back to checking in on all your numbers. So to distill this down, there's three things that I like to check to see if I had a failed launch. Number one, was it profitable, right? If I lose money on a launch, I consider that, you know, more in the failed side of things. I need to figure out what happened and fix it. Number two, what was my conversion rate? Usually you want like a 2 to 5% conversion rate on your product. I know that's a really broad statement, but if you're launching, you kind of want like 2% of people buying, right? And that's something that, again, we don't talk too much about in the online space from my perspective, but know that if you get 100 people signed up for your webinar and two of them buy, you're not doing horrible if you're just getting started, okay? And then the third thing we check for is how did everything work logistically and in line with our business goals? Okay, so I told you that that launch where we profited $2,000 was a failure, but that's because for number three, it wasn't in line with our business goals. That was one of the smallest launches we were doing in that phase of my business. It didn't line up with the $10,000 we wanted to generate to hire some people and get some work done. So I always go through those three things in that order so I can address what really didn't work, right? And in that launch, we had a bad conversion rate, we were profitable, and it wasn't in line with our goals. So even though we made money, we wouldn't consider it a loss, but we had bad conversion rate and bad alignment with our goals. So once we do that, we move on to the next step, okay? And if you've listened to this show before, you know that I love to break everything into steps. So we've got a 5-step process for you today. Step number two is ask your audience why they didn't buy. This is so often overlooked, and we do this constantly. I'm constantly asking my audience, what didn't you like? What did you like? Why did you not buy my product? We have a 5-day Facebook ads mini course that we're running right now, playing some stuff with. It's a free 5-day mini course that sells my Facebook ads program on the back end. And if the people make it to the very end of the sales sequence and don't buy, because we just set that up, we're asking them why. Hey, so-and-so, I noticed you made it through my 5-day course, but you didn't buy my product. I'm just curious what the reason was why. Now, some people are just afraid to ask, but I promise you, you do not need to be afraid. For the most part, we don't get negative emails. We get things like, oh, I couldn't afford it. I'm buying it next week. This wasn't a great fit for me. But here's the thing. I can take that data and adjust my offers, right? If everyone in your audience is telling you, you know what, it was too much money, it doesn't necessarily mean that you priced it wrong. It means that you're not communicating the value right. It means maybe you're attracting the wrong audience. Maybe you're targeting people, let's say you're in the weight loss space. Maybe you're targeting people who need to lose 100 pounds, but your product is focusing on losing 10 pounds. So you're just not finding the right audience, but you're never going to know for sure. You're always just going to be guessing until you ask. Now, there's three really simple ways that you can ask why people did and didn't buy. The first thing is, if your launch is a failure but you made sales, reach out to the people who did buy and ask them why. What that does for you is it lets you figure out what are the real selling features of your program. You might be surprised that some people are like, you know why I bought from you is because of the worksheets. Like, nobody else online is doing worksheets. And maybe when you launched your program, you didn't even talk about your worksheets, even though that's a huge thing that people loved. Sometimes we find that people tell us, oh, you know what? It's just the right time, or you said this and that really resonated with me, right? So first thing, ask the people who did buy from you what they liked. You may find that the stuff that's really selling people is stuff that you're not highlighting, and that can be a potential pitfall. Number two, shoot out an email and ask people why they didn't buy very informally. So we send out an email with one of our launches that just says, hey, I noticed you didn't buy. Was it something I said? Do you not need this right now? Is it not a good fit for your business model? Like, just hit reply and let me know. I love making sure that my content serves you best. And we get a couple responses every other day, give or take. And it's just really great feedback for us. One thing that we ended up getting a lot of was we had for a while, we were asking about my Facebook ads program and people were saying, you know what? I don't want to run my own ads. I want to outsource them. I just wanted to learn the basics. And for a while to us, that was saying, well, maybe there's potential for us to have an agency side of the business where we have people running ads for people. Maybe there's an opportunity for us to create a lower level course that is Facebook ad fundamentals so that you can go out and hire somebody. Maybe there is potential for, you know, a much more advanced course to train people on how to go out and do Facebook ads. You know, I'm not saying we are or are not doing any of those. I actually have friends doing some of those ideas and I love it. But maybe even that, maybe that's an opportunity for an affiliate opportunity. Like, if my audience is saying this and my friend sells that product, I don't even have to build it. I can just point them in the right direction because they've come to me for guidance, but I don't have a product that meets their needs. And again, those are all things that we would not uncover just by talking at our audience. The third way you can do it is the follow-up email using the ask method. Now, you've heard me probably talk about this book on the show before. I talk about it in my courses. I think it's a fantastic book. I think Ryan Levesque is a fantastic business owner, a business teacher. But he has this really awesome survey in his book. It's called the Do You Hate Me Survey. And I won't give away too much because it's like an $8 book. And I think you should get it if you want to learn this whole method. But really what you do is you send out an email that has a really strong subject line, like, do you hate me? Now, the reason you do that is it evokes the need to respond. It's totally a psychological play. Some people don't mind that. Some people do. I'm just sharing the details with you. Basically, if I say, do you hate me? The first thing you want to do is respond and be like, I don't hate you. In fact, boom. And they're going to respond and tell you, like, I don't hate you at all. All the real issue was blah, 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 blah. When we did a survey called, it's a more formal style. It's got one-click surveys, or you can send them to a survey on SurveyMonkey. But when we did this on the back end of one of our launches, the data we got was gold. People told us, you know what? This is because I'm in this niche. This is what I'm looking to do with my business. Here's my goals for the year. I mean, the amount of information that people divulged to us was shocking and so beneficial to the business. Because now, not only did we find out why people didn't buy, we actually found out what they needed. We had this whole list of emails with people saying, here's why I didn't buy, but here's the real point that I'm at in my business that stopped me from pressing the buy button. Now, I can use that information to craft better sales pitches, but the way I like to use it, my goal is not just to sell everyone I meet, right? Let me clear this up real quick because we're talking about this. Your goal isn't to ask all this stuff so that your marketing gets stronger. I mean, that's a huge piece of it, but it's to make sure your products get stronger. Because at the end of the day, great marketing with a great product is a killer combo. So we take all that information and then we develop bonuses, offers, add-ons, worksheets. We change the way the training operates. We rebranded some of our training based on that feedback. So the second step after a failed launch is to ask your audience why they didn't buy, again, assuming you had enough of an audience. Because remember, step one is check the numbers, right? It might just be a pure numbers game issue. So the second thing is ask your audience. Now, the third step after a failed launch is to diagnose. So once you've checked the numbers and you've got your numbers here, and once you've gotten feedback from your audience, what you're left with is just like data. And if I can kind of encourage you to imagine, like, you've printed everything out, right? Let's say you've written your conversion rate on a piece of paper and you've put that there, and you've written your budget and you've put your emails and you've printed everything out and you've spread it on the table, right? At this step, that's kind of what you're dealing with in a more metaphoric way. What we now have to do is take all this loose data and stack it together to make heads or tails of why launches didn't work. So what we do for ourselves is we go through and we say, number one, what's the core problem that we said we were solving? So all of your products should be solving a core problem. So to give you an example, our five-figure challenge solves the problem of how do I launch my product, build my list, and make money if I don't have a massive audience? How do I do my first really successful launch? That's the problem our five-day challenge training program solves. Okay. Second thing is ask, is this a problem that showed up when I surveyed my audience for my buyers and my non-buyers? Did the buyers say that this is what pulled them in? And did my non-buyers say anything about this problem? Now, this is where it starts to get a little less, you know, black and white and more about interpretation and listening to your own audience. But just to give you some scenarios here, you're either going to come up with, number one, your audience didn't talk about that problem at all, and what you thought you were solving is not what resonated with your buyers. Now, if that's what happens, all it is repackaging and remarketing to make sure that you're solving those problems directly. And the other thing you can do is say, let's say everybody says, hey, that's exactly what my problem was. I bought based on what you said. Then we go back and we say it's a marketing issue. Either our marketing's not strong enough, our emails aren't strong enough, our copy's not strong enough, our sales messaging isn't strong enough, we're not conveying the value behind the price point strong enough. And then from there, you branch out. And I know that that's really broad, but what I want you to understand is that at a very superficial level, what we're doing so far is we're crunching the numbers. We're crunching the empirical data we have. Then we're crunching the qualitative data. What did your audience say? How did they feel? The stuff we can't really assign a number to. Then we're just spreading the papers and just connecting the dots. Some other pieces of data that you can use at this point to diagnose are, how many sales did you make when the cart opened? How many sales did you make when the cart was closing, right? So did you have a big influx of sales at the beginning and the end like you normally should? Did you have sales in between your cart open and close, right? Were people not responsive to your sales unless there was a deadline or an incentive? Or were people buying every day like you would expect in a launch? You can also answer questions like, how was my email open rate? Were people opening my emails or not opening my emails? You can look at things like your Facebook ads here. Did your Facebook ads convert? You can look at how many people signed up for the launch. If your goal was 1,000 and you only got 500, what went wrong in the promo phase? So this third step is the step that everyone skips, because the reality is there is no straight line from A to Z. If you've ever seen that graphic on social media that says what most people think of success, and it's a straight line from A to Z, and then there's what success really is, and it's a line and it's all scattered with squiggles and swirls and peaks and valleys all the way from point A to point Z. That's what this step is like. You have to sift through the data, and you have to be willing to have the tough conversation. Maybe this is a product that doesn't resonate with your audience. Maybe it needs to be rebranded. Maybe you need to put more money into the promotion because you're out of organic audience, and the only way to expand your launch is to spend more money. I can tell you it was nerve-wracking the first time my mentor sat me down and said, listen, if you want to make more money, you have to do bigger launches and spend more money. I mean, that was terrifying. But believe it or not, that was something that was out on the table when we were talking. Like, are we not putting enough money into our ads? We 4X'd our ads and we doubled our launches just like that. We didn't change a lot of stuff other than 4X'ing our spend. Once you do all that, you get to step four, which is what's called the debrief. And I'm actually going to pull up a debrief that I have, and I want to walk you through all of the numbers that we kind of go through in our debrief. But before I do that, just to give you a real quick look at what a debrief is, it's essentially taking all of the data that I just had you go through and all the stuff that you diagnosed and putting it in a readable format. And it really breaks into 3 to 4 sections, depending on the way your brain works. The way we do it is we do sales and profits, expenses, costs, and leads, and then we do what worked great and what worked not so great. So just to read off some of the numbers from ours, and again, everybody's debrief can be different. Some people use a form. My mentor has a form they use every time they do it. I like to work from scratch and just start from zero. But what's included in our launch is, number one, how long was the cart open? Number two, what was the product cost? Number three, what were the units sold? And then we break that down by full pay, half pay, during the launch, after the launch, before the launch, etc. Profits and expenses, lead cost analysis. So this is things like, what did we pay per lead? What was our average ad cost? What did we generate per lead? All of our ad costs are rolled up into there. And then of course, what worked well and what didn't work well. And then we have final thoughts. And I'll read you what I wrote in my final thoughts. This was from a successful launch, but just to give you a thought about what this is. I said, I'm thrilled to have had an awesome launch. The last one with pre-sales was about 67,000, and this one was about double that. So if I double down, I can't complain. We brought in amazing people who are doing the work and are creating amazing things. So to me, that final thought is just a great way to go back through, because we do this for all of our launches. So over time, you're actually building out this step four. It's like literally a written debrief, where at any point in time, I wrote all of these inside my mastermind group. I simply go to my group, I type in the word debrief in the search bar, and I go look through what worked and what didn't work well. So when I'm relaunching my product in February, even though my launch went well, we can kind of imagine it didn't. Something I wrote down here was, like, the challenge group was awesome, but having to leave 2,000 plus comments was insane. I need support staff the next time to make my launch more manageable. Boom. That's something we're already working on. How do we make the comment flow more manageable in the next launch? I wrote, the election killed our conversion costs. Well, guess what? This time when we sat down to crunch all of our launch dates, we said, are any of these holidays, are any of these major dates, should we be avoiding the election in any way, shape, or form? And we did. We were going to be launching early February. We pushed it back to wait after the inauguration, which it might sound silly, but we saw what all of the political atmosphere did to our ad costs. So now it's something we're always aware of. I also traveled during my last launch, and I wrote, I am definitely not traveling over this next launch. I'm going to be refreshed before, take a trip before, but I'm definitely not going to have a trip during. So again, we just wrote down what worked not well, and we revised that. There's also a section for what did work well. So guess what, you guys? Even though we're talking failed launches, this is a process that you should do for every launch. Because not only do I know what to avoid next time, I know what worked incredibly well this time. So, like, this was the first time we worked with a copywriter. We're 100% bringing a copywriter in for our next launch. Like, no questions asked, at the very least to review and revise some of our copy. We also are definitely using segmenting again. So again, this is just taking the more less tangible step of asking your audience and kind of diagnosing internally and formalizing it into a document or an Evernote or a file on your computer that you always have to go back and reference. And then that takes us to step 5. So the last step is the best one, but let's just recap what we've done so far. So number one, we checked to make sure that our launch actually failed by looking at profits, by looking at conversion rate, and looking at company and business goals. If we really determine that it's a failure, then we start figuring out what went wrong by asking our audience. We ask both the people who bought from us and the people who didn't, why did you take that action? Then we diagnose what we think did and didn't go so great from a more internal perspective. How did our emails look? How did our ads look? What is our audience saying? Did people buy more on one day versus the other? Did certain bonuses entice people? Did our webinars way out convert everything else? And then step 4, we formalize all the data we've collected. We look at it, we put it on a piece of paper, and we actually document how this launch played out so that when we go to step 5, reframe and redo, we know what worked and what didn't. So the last step is quite simply getting back on the horse and relaunching. And I know that that can be easier said than done. I remember the first time I had a failed launch, I was like, I'm never gonna be able to launch again, because once one fails, they all fail, and everybody knows that I failed, and what am I gonna do now that everybody knows I'm a failure? But then guess what? Nobody actually knew my launch failed. In fact, people in the failed launch I told you about in Mexico, we actually got emails from people complimenting us on how great that launch looked. Guess what, you guys? A failed launch is not the end. In fact, it's not even the beginning. It's just part of the journey. You're going to fail at some point. You really are. And I hope I'm not the first person to tell you that. But just know, you're gonna fail at some point. And the most important thing to do is get back on the horse and launch again. I've learned that people don't care when your launches fail. People aren't watching when things don't go well. We've had failed products, failed offers, failed emails, and nobody seems to really care. What people care about at the end of the day is that you do your best to promote amazing content and that when you get customers, you support them. And I find that if you're doing all of that, no matter how many times you have to retry, relaunch, reevaluate, repackage, you'll do just fine. And just a little side note, if you launch and nobody buys your product, guess what? You're the only one who knows that. And guess what? That means not enough people saw it or cared about it. And I mean that in a good way. Guess what? If you launch to 50 people, but nobody buys from you, guess what? There's a billion other people out there, less those 50, that are still open, that have never heard of you, that don't know that you failed your launch, right? Your past doesn't have to define your future in some ways, but you can let it define your futures in the right way by checking if it was a failure, by asking your audience, by diagnosing, debriefing, and redoing it. So at the end of the day, what it comes down to is asking your audience what didn't work, getting real stats, building a case for yourself on how to improve, and then going out there and redoing it and improving. So hopefully you got a ton out of episode 50. I know that I referenced a few different things in here, so we will definitely get show notes online for you at heartsoulhustle.com/50. Again, that's heartsoulhustle.com/50. We'll have the show notes for you there. So before I go, I want to leave you with this. Everyone at every level fails, from the early entrepreneur who's trying to get their first client to the Inc. 500 CEO who's trying to launch a brand new product to millions of people. The only difference between successful people and those that fail and never come back is that coming back, that trying again. So get out there and keep trying, because there are people out there waiting for you to impact and influence their life, and you have it in you. So go out, launch strong, and when all fails, do it again. I'll see you guys next week. Thanks for listening to the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast. For more great stuff, be sure to visit heartsoulhustle.com.